we had freedom and it was time for us to take advantage of that freedom. We were probably about 3 or 4 years into it before I started gradually shifting to what I felt led to the whole time. I would just say, ultimately, you know, you've got the roller coaster ride. You start, okay, I'm going to do it this way, but no, I'm coming down. I'm going to do it this way. And so we've just done our little roller coaster. It started off feeling like we needed to really prove ourselves. And then we've over time kind of come into these moments where we can just kind of relax and do what's right for us.
Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. Hey friends, this is the final episode of season 4 of the Homeschool Conversations podcast. Thank you so much for joining us all season long. Make sure that you have subscribed to this podcast in your favorite podcast player so that you don't miss the start of season 5 in January. I hope you all enjoy a wonderful holiday season and a blessed Christmas with your family and friends. If you are looking for some resources for the next few weeks, definitely check out humilityanddoxology.com/advent, where I've rounded up several of our family's favorite resources. Until next year, happy homeschooling. Hello, everyone. Today, I am joined by Emily Copeland. Emily, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, Emily is a Christ follower, ministry leader, and home educating mom of two living in coastal North Carolina, my home state. We're practically neighbors. She writes at Table Life blog, where she shares tips, ideas, and resources to help others lead well while educating their children. Emily, here at the beginning, I would love for you to tell us just a little bit about yourself and your family and how you guys came to start homeschooling.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, you know, like you said, I've got two kids. We live in coastal North Carolina. My husband and I have been married since 2002. And when we began, or when we got married, we actually were both in ministry at the time. I eventually stepped away from paid ministry simply because we moved to a church that didn't have the position I was in available. It was already filled. So I started volunteering, and then, you know, we ended up having our first child. And then over time, we realized just the demands of ministry life. It was going to be kind of difficult to do public school or private school. We didn't have any experience with homeschooling. We personally never knew anybody who had been homeschooled. I was a public school kid. He was a private school kid. But just the demands of ministry life made us look at this other. I wonder if this would actually allow us to spend more time together, you know, and I think a lot of people who aren't too familiar with the back end of a church and how it works, they don't necessarily know that Monday night can be busy, Tuesday night can be busy, Wednesday night can be busy, Thursday night can be busy, Friday night, the whole week can have something going on. And so we really started thinking about just all the preparation time that went into things that were happening at our churches. And we realized that this was a good option for us because we could be a lot more flexible and still be a family. So that's how we kind of fell into it. And yeah, so we didn't know anybody. So it was a completely, it was quite a renegade thing to do back in 2009, as strange as that sounds. But yeah, that's kind of how we found our way to it.
I love that. You know, I've talked to a few people who have mentioned that there was more of this idea about their family structure that really came first. It wasn't so much necessarily like this driving like passion for homeschooling or educational philosophy, but it was what they wanted their family to look like. And that was really kind of what got them started on homeschooling. And then over time, of course, you learn more and more about what you love about it and why you want to keep going. So I would love to hear kind of how your approach to homeschooling and educational philosophy has grown or changed over the years.
Yeah, so that's such a good point because that was not part of the picture at all when we began, but it has totally evolved through the years. And I will start out by saying the church we were serving at that time had several members who were either teachers at the local public school, or they were employees at the local public school, or they were retired from the local public school. And it was a pretty good school. So unfortunately, I felt like I had to prove myself when we began. I will back up a little bit and say that I researched and researched and researched before we started homeschooling. I read up on all the possible ways to do this, and I very early on felt led to the Charlotte Mason philosophy. And I thought, oh, you can do that? That sounds amazing. And I really, really liked that early on. I felt very led to doing that. But by the time it came to start purchasing materials and actually making plans, I backed off of that big time because it looked so different from anything I had ever known or anything I had ever seen in action. So, despite the fact that I was automatically led to that kind of nature-based and literature-based homeschooling, very child-centered in a lot of ways, I put it all on the shelf and I said, oh no, this needs to look like a classroom. This needs to look like a classroom inside our home because I've got all these people and I need to prove myself, And that was so not a good thing, but it's just the truth of how it started. And over time, I realized that we had freedom and it was time for us to take advantage of that freedom. So I really, really got off of that kick of feeling like I had to prove myself. And yeah, we were probably about 3 or 4 years into it before I started gradually shifting to what I felt led to the whole time. And so I will say it's been really interesting because my son is 5 years older than my daughter. My daughter has had a much more Charlotte Mason inspired experience than my son because, he's the guinea pig and we're kind of molding and, moving along over time. But it's really nice though because he still has a lot of that inspiration in what he does every day as a high schooler, but it's kind of with our own spin on it because he's grown accustomed to certain things over time. But yeah, so I would just say ultimately, you've got the roller coaster ride. You start, okay, I'm going to do it this way, but no, I'm coming down. I'm going to do it this way. And so we've just done our little roller coaster. It started off feeling like we needed to really prove ourselves. And then we've over time kind of come into these moments where we can just kind of relax and do what's right for us.
I think so many moms are going to resonate with that and recognize that how many of us spend so much time worried, not just about like what we think would be best for our family, but then also we add on the burden of like what everyone else is going to think about what we've chosen for our family. And so often we kind of know what would really be best, but we second guess ourselves or let other people's questions or ideas sidetrack us from really that perfect, unique little pathway for our own families. And ultimately, as we go through those ups and downs, we end up finding what we wanted to do originally was probably the best thing anyway. We can kind of forget about the naysayers or forget about the questioners and just do what the Lord's called us to do.
Yeah, and that's
Hope for the best.
absolutely it. I say all the time, my only homeschool regret, if you will, is that I didn't trust myself more from the beginning. And it is what it is because you learn things along the way. But yeah, if I had just trusted myself from the beginning, I can almost guarantee there would have been some smoother years there in the beginning. I mean, there still would have been a learning curve, but we wouldn't have wasted time with curriculum or methods that really were not for us after all, if I had just listened to what I knew to be true from the beginning.
But now you've found what works for you. And so it's also kind of good to remember it's not like too late. You don't ruin everything just because you have a year or two where you're distracted. So that's encouraging, I think, for
Yeah.
all of us to remember. Yeah. Well, what are some of your favorite parts of homeschooling?
The togetherness it's amazing. I go back to life and ministry, and I think about all the people that I know who are so busy doing all the things, and it feels like I'm hearing, oh, we just wish we could be together more. And you realize there are so many people out there who basically just live under the same roof. They sleep under the same roof. They just don't have that time. And I think homeschooling is such a gift because you don't have to sacrifice the time you have with your kids. You can really and truly walk with them every step of the way, and you can model learning and just that posture of learning that we all need to have as adults. Your kids get to have a front row seat watching you learn just as much as you get that front row seat with them. So I think the time together is invaluable, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I would say that is my number one favorite gift that comes with homeschooling.
Do you see that togetherness also playing into the relationships with the siblings? Because I think you said there's like a 5-year age gap. And that reminds me of my own homeschooled experience. I was 4 years and 5 grades separate from my younger brother. And I really am thankful that we were homeschooled because we would never have really been in the same school or had the same set of friends if we had followed a more traditional path of education. And as it was, we were best buddies all growing up. And I really am thankful for that experience. Do you see that kind of playing out with your kids?
I definitely do. First of all, my son is my oldest and my daughter is my youngest, and they have wildly different personalities. And yet, I really believe this time homeschooling, they're best friends. They will tell you that, you know, hey, my brother's my best friend. My sister's my best friend. That is what they have together. And yes, there are times when they might drive each other nuts because of their personality differences. But at the same time, they're still kind of learning, you know, those invaluable skills of still having to love people and come alongside them and get through what they need to get through, even if, you know, attitudes are less than perfect one day. So they absolutely have a friendship and a bond that I have no doubt they would not get otherwise. It's really something to watch.
My oldest and youngest are boys. So I have 3 girls in the middle. And so the oldest and youngest are separated by 10 years. And I often think about that with them. You know, they have this opportunity to have this brother's relationship, even across such a wide age spread. I'm thankful they have this time together. But, you know, certainly not wanting to communicate it's all roses and unicorns all the time because, you know, best friends, worst enemies, all of those sibling dynamics, you know, we're all together all the time, which is great. Except when it's not so great.
Oh yeah, look, mine share a room, so I get that. You know, they share a bunk bed, so he's got his own little perch up top. And the thing about him is he's very, you know, in a box, he's very orderly, and she is an explosion at all times because she can't contain all of her ideas in one place and in one moment. And so she literally, it's something to corral, I'll be honest with you. So yeah, that's one thing we have to talk to them about all the time. You know, hey, you've got to respect, he can't function. He cannot focus in a room that looks like this, but she still needs her space. So I think that they really learn a lot about just being people, meeting each other's needs in real time. I mean, you know, that's life skills. You have to do that with employees your entire life. So you know, I'm going to chalk that up to being a good thing.
As homeschool moms, Emily, we are inundated by opportunities and information, you know, podcasts and blogs and curriculum catalogs and all these amazing opportunities we have. And there can be so many good ideas that we can sometimes feel overwhelmed because it's not like we're choosing between like a good option and a bad option. There's just a lot of good options and we can't do them all. So how do we know if we're doing enough in our homeschool? And then how do we choose the best things for our own unique families?
Okay, so I have said this before, and I truly believe this. First of all, if you're stressing out about doing enough, you probably are. In fact, you could probably flip that question and ask yourself if you're doing too much. I have found in my own experience of trying to fill in all the possible gaps that There are many times when we are doing way more than we need to be doing and for no reason at all, you know? And so I think a lot of times, rather than focusing on enough, let's look back and go, okay, is it too much? And then, you know, then you can kind of piece together, fill in more if you just absolutely feel like you need to. But on that note, I would also say that the idea of enough or too much really can change from season to season. I'll say just quite honestly, for example, my daughter, even though we have been, you know, hardcore Ambleside online since she was like 5 or 6, you know, we're backing off from that this year because that's way too much for her in this season. I have learned that a global pandemic will show you really quickly if you've got a child who is inclined to deal with anxiety. So for me, this is a season to push pause on that and to go, we may come back to that later on, but that's too much right now. It's just too much. So we're going to flip our plan, and we're going to move to 5 in a row. We're going to go back to that. We did that in preschool. We did that like her kindergarten year, and we're going to go back to 5 in a row because I need to go back to something way more gentle for her right now because that meets her where she is right here, right now. Is that what I would have planned this time last year? Absolutely not. We would have been chugging right along going into the next year of Ambleside Online. But I've got to meet her where she is. And in this season, that was too much. So I do think it's important to always be evaluating what that looks like from season to season. And on that note, as far as, you know, knowing for your individual family, yeah, you've just got to pay attention to what your people are going through, whether that's your family collectively and what's going on in the overarching scheme. Or if it's your kids individually. Like I said, my daughter, you know, we're working through some stuff with her. My son, he's chugging along. He's doing fine. We've decided, you know, to do a 5-year high school plan with him instead of the traditional 4 years. But that also took taking a step back and going, hey, what if we added an extra year? Would that help you? Would you feel like you had more time to pursue your interests? You know, it took having that conversation to really know what was going to work best for him. So I do think that a lot of times it's just really stepping back before you plow ahead with your planning and really just seeing what your people need in the season they're in.
Being financially uneducated is expensive. Today's podcast sponsor, MoneyTimeKids.com, will teach your child all the things you wish you had been taught about money. You know personal finance is a critical life skill that your kids need, but how do you include it in your homeschool curriculum? MoneyTime is an online financial literacy program combining finance lessons with an interactive money management game, which is perfect for a homeschool elective. Podcast listeners can get 25% off annual licenses using the code HDPOD21 at checkout. Get the link and coupon code in today's show notes. I love how you're focusing on the relationships, on the people, the individuals in your home, instead of just a check list, as if our children are somehow like machines or mechanical that we just push buttons and do the right thing and, you know, pull levers and we just move forward mechanically, because we're not, we're persons, as, you know, Charlotte Mason would say, right? Yes. Children are born persons. Yes. And our children need us to be aware of who they are as individuals. And that may be that the curriculum plan that all our friends or all the cool kids, you know, that we're like, oh, that's going to be a great fit. It may just not be a fit for our individual children, either in general or for that time. And saying no to it now doesn't mean you're saying no to it forever. It just means like right now, this isn't what's best for my child or for our family. That's so important to not have the curriculum or the system that we're following be our masters. Like, we're still in charge of discipling our children, paying attention to them, and really caring for them as individuals.
Yeah. And if something's not serving them well right now, it's okay to not use that anymore. Like you said, you can always come back to it if you want to, but there's a long way just to address what needs to be addressed right here, right now, because it's really your only shot to do so.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to actually kind of creating that daily plan, that semester plan, you know, as we're moving from sort of the big picture to actually now we actually have to know what we're doing when we get up in the morning, you know, how do we create a doable plan that keeps us on track and keeps our children on track, but is flexible enough to shift and change with the realities of daily life?
Okay, so my favorite thing that I've learned over the years with this is to build in a margin day. We do this on Fridays. Fridays, I literally plan maybe one or two things, and they're kind of easy, quick things that don't require a whole lot. And then I don't plan anything else. So if for some reason we didn't finish a lesson on Wednesday, well, guess what? That can roll over till Friday and it's going to be okay. Same thing. If you don't want to do it weekly, you can do it monthly. You can have, say, 2 or 3 days near the end of the month where you can play catch up. It is such a relief to know that you've got time built into your schedule and you can tackle things that just didn't happen because life happened instead. And you can do that without throwing yourself completely off track. And, you know, I do believe, you know, you're never truly behind. I get that. That's great. It's a wonderful thing to hold on to. But realistically, even if you've got goals you set for yourself, you really can get thrown off. And it gets really discouraging if you keep having to mark through and you know, mess up your planner or move too many things around. It feels like you're never going to finish, you know? And so I do really, really think having those margin days, it's such a lifesaver. It really, really is. So I absolutely say to build that margin into your schedule. And then also, just realistically, like, be real with yourself about the expectations you have for yourself and for your children. So, you know, like I said, I've only got two kids and mine are 5 years apart, but I can tell you without a doubt, the hardest years of homeschooling so far were when my daughter was a toddler. It was fine when she was a baby and she slept more, but she was into everything. And so it made it really difficult to sit down and do math for an hour with my son at that time. And so, you know, if you've got little ones, you need to make sure that you are building into your schedule plenty of margin. And I would say to plan less, you know, like really and truly give yourself the time and the room you need to do what you need to do. And if that comes in the form of that less is more approach, then so be it. It's not going to last forever. It's only for a season, but I think you'll really benefit and have a much less stressful experience if you're not trying to do all the things every day.
I think what you were saying is so smart, and I think it's so important to have margin and white space in our homeschool schedule. I've never thought to like actually consider it like a margin day. I love that idea. I have talked to moms before about like the budget analogy. If you created a family budget for your money and you had like every single penny allocated by, you know, something's going to break and all of a sudden, where's that money going to come from? Because every penny was accounted for. And you would never think to yourself like, oh, I really want to go to Hawaii. So I'm just going to like put that on the plan if it doesn't actually match up with your family's, you know, spreadsheet. So often though we do that with our homeschool planning, like, oh, we have all these great ideas and we don't actually see that there's no possible way to fit that into the actual 24-hour day, you know, even if you did 6 days a week, goodness.
Yeah, I've never thought of that with the budget, but that makes total sense because it's an exact parallel. Yeah, like if you give yourself that room, you will use it, but it's almost like you have to have it or it's not just going to come out of thin air, you know?
Mm-hmm. You have an emergency fund with your money. We need an emergency fund with our time too.
On Friday, yeah.
I love that. Well, Emily, last year, I actually did a whole little mini series with talking to all sorts of different moms who were working full-time or part-time while homeschooling. It was so encouraging. I think a lot more moms are facing that, even probably more over the past year or two. And, you know, there are moms who are working outside the home, working inside the home, part-time, full-time, all these different things. And so it can be really tricky, but it's also encouraging to hear from other moms to know, like, this is possible. You can do it. So I would kind of love to hear from you a little bit about, you know, what your work life looks like, and then what would sort of be your strategies or tips or encouragement for other moms who are trying to combine and balance homeschooling with their work commitments.
Okay, so there are times I'm better about this than others. So if I'm being completely transparent, this is not a month where I am rocking this. I am many days right now just flying by the seat of my pants, as they might say. But usually it's not that way. Most of the time, you know, I have my website that I'm running and I'm writing and doing all the things that come with blogging. I don't necessarily know that everybody knows what a list of things are involved when it comes to, you know, running that website and maintaining the website and doing all the back end tech stuff and then also writing and creating the content. So there's really a lot that goes into that. But in addition to that, I also have some client work that I do that involves graphic design and product creation and things like that. And I love doing those side jobs also. So with that said, there's a lot going on. And, you know, I really think the key to all of that is, especially if you're working from home, is to be upfront with your family about what you've got going on. If you've got deadlines, they can't help you make dinner that night or do the house cleaning or run errands. They can't help you do any of that if they don't know you've got those deadlines. So be upfront about the times when you've got extra projects or you're specifically working on something, because if you're going to get help, it's going to be because you've been upfront and you've said, hey, I could use some help in this area right now. I've kind of got a lot going on. So I would say, you know, being upfront helps a lot. I would also say creating boundaries helps a lot. If you don't respect your time and if you don't use your time efficiently, you can't expect other people to respect it. You know, so if that means, you know, friends call and ask if you want to go meet up for this or meet up for that, you know, you may literally have to say, you know what, I can't today. I'm working today. But what about Friday? Could we do that Friday? That would be much better for me because I'm not working on Friday. You know, so like just be real about your own expectations and your own schedule the same way you would be if you physically left your house to go to work, you know. I think that just being honest about what you've got going on helps, whether that is, you know, your own family or external commitments. So yeah, guarding your time. And then I would also just say, you know, you've got to be committed. You've got to be focused. So, you know, I think one of the hardest things about homeschooling and working, especially when you have something that's kind of a flexible job, if you will, is, oh, hey, okay, they're doing this math lesson right now. I can check my phone and see what emails have come in. And so it feels like you're always kind of distracted because you're trying to do 10 different things at one time. So I would just really caution against that as much as possible. Try not to do that so that when you're homeschooling, you're homeschooling. You're all in and your kids don't, you know, they don't lose your focus, because I find that you can really waste a day having your kids waiting for you to come back and pay attention. That's certainly not modeling, you know, it's not modeling attention very well. It's not modeling good habits very well. So I do think it really goes a long way to even guard your homeschooling time just as much as you're guarding your work time. You know, wherever you are, be all in and let that be it.
That is a really good encouragement and reminder for me as well, because, you know, I also am trying to balance these things. And so often it's like you're trying to multitask, but really what you're doing is not giving your all to kind of either side. And so sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes you have to do that, but yeah, to just be more intentional with the time direction. And then your encouragement to talk, like use your words. Like we tell our kids, like use your words. It doesn't help anybody if you're like all miffed in your head because somebody didn't magically know you needed help if you haven't used your words to tell them.
Yes. And I can be really bad about that because internally I can be thinking, why didn't they notice this, and this? It wouldn't have been that hard. But my goodness, I could have said something. I really could have said something. And most of the time, if I'm irritated or feeling overwhelmed, it was completely avoidable. And so I have found that it's just better for everybody if I am upfront about what I have going on.
That's just good life advice right there, probably outside of even of homeschooling and work life. Just be upfront with people. It's good. Yeah. Well, Emily, here at the end, I'm going to ask you the questions I'm asking all of my guests this season. And the first question is just, what are you reading lately?
Okay, so I have to confess, I'm really bad, if you want to say bad, about reading multiple things at once. So usually I have a stack going. On my Kindle right now, I am reading Raising Worry-Free Girls by Sissy Goff. I alluded to that earlier. That's been a really good one for me to work through so we can kind of get in front of anything that might be developing and go ahead and use the tools that are available to us to kind of even pass those tools along to my daughter. So that's been a really good book. I am also reading along with my son, Madeline Lingle's Austin Chronicles. So it's the Austin family series, and I'm working through the Young Unicorns right now. So he's been reading those, he loves those. And so I like to know what's going on in his literary world. So I'm reading those as well. And I've just started that one. And then the other happens to be Madeline Lingle also. I just started her Genesis trilogy. So I'm literally in the very first book of that. I actually love her nonfiction. He loves her fiction, and I like her fiction, but I adore her nonfiction. And so, so I'm happy to be opening up another one of those. I got it for Christmas, and I'm just now having a chance to open it. So yeah, I'm working through the Genesis trilogy, and I'm working through some of her fiction. And then on the more parenting end, I'm working on Raising Worry-Free Girls.
I read her memoir, A Circle of Quiet, a couple years ago, and really enjoyed that.
Oh, I love that whole series. It's so good, so life-giving.
Well, my final question here is, what are your best tips to keep the homeschool day running smoothly?
Okay, so I mentioned a little bit about the less is more philosophy. I still hold on to that. I realize, yes, there are times when you really do have to get things done. But when it comes to your planning, I don't know if you've heard that whole expression. I think it applies to work, but, you know, under promise, over deliver. I think we could look at our homeschool plans that way also. So why don't we under plan, but over deliver? And I think when you plan to do less, okay, great. I got it done. I'm good. But if you over deliver, you know, hey, wow, we really did it today. Okay, that's great. You know, I think if you stress when it comes to the plans, I think it's just, it's such a relief because you don't feel like you've been defeated before you even start the day. And I really believe in the under planning so that you can over deliver. And then that way you've got time for, you know, exploration. You've got time for curiosity. Or if, you know, like right now, I'm not going to show you, but over to the side, my kid has a whole pile full of magnet tiles in the floor. Earlier today, she was messing with snap circuits. But, you know, if you under plan, you have time for those creative endeavors. And, you know, we don't want to be so busy that we don't give our kids time to explore and to experiment and to learn on their own. So yeah, that's it. That's my ultimate thing as far as a smooth day, whether it's for you yourself leading the homeschooling or whether it's for your kids. I think it's really good for us when we under plan and over deliver.
I think you and I have a similar approach to planning there. I often say I like to plan like a pessimist and then execute like an optimist, you know, kind of go in assuming everything's going to go wrong and plan accordingly. And then it makes it a lot more fun to actually execute the plan, and it goes much better than I anticipated. So I'd rather it be that or the other way.
Yeah, I like that. But it's the same thing as like if I'm like, here's what I'm going to give you today. But if I give you so much more, we all feel like rock stars, you know?
Exactly. Emily, where can people find you all around the internet?
Okay, so I am at tablelifeblog.com, and I believe pretty much everywhere social media wise, I'm at Table Life Blog. On Twitter, I'm Emily_Copeland. but I don't exclusively talk about homeschooling there. Sometimes there's other stuff mixed in. But yeah, so Instagram, I spend the most time there. But yeah, I'm at Table Life Blog there. And yeah, same thing for Facebook and even Pinterest, if you still want to call that social media.
I will have all those things linked up in the show notes for this episode over at humilityanddoxology.com. Thanks so much, Emily, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.